करोति वाचालां पंगुं लंगयते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंद माधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात देश तारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। वी डिस्कस फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो श्रीमद् भागवतम द प्रेयर्स ऑफर्ड बाय द वाइव्स ऑफ द सर्पेंट कालिया। दिस बिकॉज मेनी टाइम्स डिवोटीज आस्क हाउ शुड वी प्रे एंड वन ऑफ द चैलेंजेस फॉर अ साधका इज हाउ टू ऑफर प्रेयर्स, meaningful prayers. So we'll read a few verses and understand in what mood we can offer prayers on Janmashtami. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayet Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya भगवतेर उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवति नैष्टकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे। हरे कृष्ण। दिस इज अ ब्यूटिफुल वर्स, टेक्स्ट नंबर 33 ऑफ द 10th कैंटो 16th चैप्टर। कृष्ण चैस्टाइज द सर्पेंट कालिया। सो फ्रॉम 33 वी हैव lot of beautiful prayers offered by the wives of Kaliya, and then Kaliya also offers prayers. So we'll take a few of them. Nagapatnya Uchuhu, the wives of Naga Kaliya, they prayed. Nyayo I danda kritakil bisheshmins tavavatara khalanigrahaya रिपो सुतानाम अपितुल्य दृष्टिर दत्से दमं फलम एवानुशंसन। फॉर द वाइव्स आर नाउ सेइंग न्यायोई दंड। नाउ द बैकग्राउंड इज कालिया इज अबाउट टू डाई। कृष्णा वाइल आर्टिस्टिकली डांसिंग ऑन द हुड्स ऑफ कालिया हैज ऑल्सो स्मैश्ड कालिया सो बैडली दैट पॉइजन एंड देन ब्लड इज कमिंग आउट एंड इज अबाउट टू डाई। And Kaliya's wives, they see that their husband is changing. He is surrendering. He is repenting. So they are desperate now to save him because he has become a Vaishnava. So now they are desperate. They want Krishna to save their husband. So in the desperation they are coming forward and the prayer they are offering first is, Krishna, nyayoi danda. your punishment is fair, correct. They are not saying, oh, you can't do this, you know. Instinctively, a person in this material world, when he is miserable, when he is suffering, who is the first person he blames? God. No, Kaliya's wives could have blamed Krishna. No, instinctively they are saying, first thing, Krishna is perfect. Your action is perfect because Krita Kilbisheshmin, our husband has committed serious offense. So you have punished him. Excellent. And you have incarnated for this. Tava avatara khala nigrahaya. To punish all the demons, you have incarnated. So this is the first thing a devotee, when he prays to the Lord, he doesn't blame Krishna for the misery and the suffering in his or her life. Many times we go through sufferings, we should know Krishna is not to be blamed. And then they are saying, Ripos sutanam apitulya drishtir. Oh my dear Krishna, you are also apitulya. You are impartial. You don't favor anyone. Like Hiranyakashipu was a demon, but his child was saved by Krishna. And Bhaumasur was Krishna's own son, but Krishna killed him. So Nagpatnis are saying, you are very impartial. Apitulya drishti. So just because you are punishing our husband, we will not accuse you of doing something wrong. You are perfect, you are impartial, and most important is your punishment is actually mercy. It is actually an expression of your love, because Ripo Sutanam, although they are Ripu, our husband was an enemy, but is after all your Suta, your child. All living entities, including the rebellious living entities, are your sons and daughters. They are your children, my dear Lord. So even when you punish, that is your mercy. So this is the way they begin their prayers, where they are offering an expression of how Krishna is just, Krishna is wonderful, Krishna is impartial, and Krishna considers every living entity as his child. So this is a very nice meditation for us to offer prayers. And they are, by praying like this, they are revealing Krishna's sweetness. That how, even though sometimes it may appear Krishna is chastising demons, it is not that Krishna is inimical towards them. Krishna is punishing them just like a loving parent would punish their children. So they are revealing Krishna's sweetness. Now this is a very important point. To understand that Krishna loves all living entities. And our duty and responsibility on a sobering day like Janmashtami, as Govind Prabhu said, our meditation is to understand and reflect, am I reciprocating with Krishna's love? Am I also aspiring to develop a loving relationship with Krishna? Now this is very beautifully explained by Srila Prabhupada in the first canto. Yasyam vai shruya manayam krishne param purushe bhaktir utpadate pumsa shoka moha bhayapah. It is explained that if we hear about Krishna attentively, shruya mana, then bhakti will develop, definitely love will develop for Krishna. Along with that, shoka moha bhaya, lamentation, anchoring, illusion and fear will go away. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes very beautifully how generally when we hear love will develop for Krishna, when we hear the word love, Srila Prabhupada says, we think of male and female. Then he says, but real love and affection is between Lord and living entity. And then he writes a very interesting statement. He says, the affection between the Lord and living entity is something like the affection between a male and a female. But it is very clear, Srila Prabhupada clarifies, that we can never compare the love of this world to the love of the living entity with Krishna, the relationship in its purified stage. To understand the intensity of the emotion, the comparison is given with love of this material world. You see, just to give us a glimpse. That's why if you see in this material world, love, the happiness experienced by love is glorified more than any other happiness. People may be very happy eating nice food. People may be very happy passing their exam. People may be very happy when their favorite teams win the IPL. But all of this happiness put together is not comparable with the happiness experienced by a person when he or she is in love and they fall in love. It's not comparable, isn't it? And that's why if you see, all the Bollywood movies talk about love stories. Because that's such an attractive phenomenon. But even movies where some other theme is there as the main theme, like sports or politics, even there some love story will be intertwined. Because instinctively people know that love is the greatest source of happiness. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that if this is the highest happiness, imagine how it would be in the purified stage. If the perverted love is so attractive, in the purified sense how it would be. And therefore Srila Prabhupada in that same purport of Asyam by Shriyamanayam, he concludes by saying, we can also develop that relationship with Krishna if we take to the path of submissive hearing of Krishna's pastimes, because Krishna and Krishna's subject matter are not different, they are same. So when we are hearing Krishna's pastimes, we slowly start developing love. Even if we don't start developing love for Krishna, at least we start seeing the superficiality of the so-called love of this world. At least that becomes clearer. Like, our understanding of love is like what Dronacharya's son, Ashwatthama, understood what is milk. You know, in Mahabharata, when Dronacharya, before he got a job with the Kuru Palace, before he got there, he was very poor. And he couldn't feed anything to his child. So his child Ashwatthama was studying in the Gurukul and all the children would drink milk. They would get from home and they would be drinking. And Ashwatthama didn't know what is milk. So he went and asked his parents. So his mother was so poor, she couldn't even afford milk. So she gave him white flour mixed with water. And it looked like milk. So he drank it and he felt, oh, this is milk. And but when his friends saw, they laughed at him. They said, this is not milk. So when we talk about love in this world, we may think it is love, but it is actually white flour mixed with water. Nowhere in comparison to real love. But we may say, no, but it is love. Bollywood says it is love. It is written there, love. It's love. It feels like love. We may have all that understanding. But by Sukhdev Goswami's standard, it is not love. It comes nowhere near. And therefore, to understand and appreciate that, to experience it fully, we practice Krishna consciousness, which includes the path of hearing, chanting. This Monday, Bhagavatam class, Srila Prabhupada's class, we were hearing. He was saying, very striking statement, that if you sincerely practice Krishna consciousness, then after death, you will see Krishna eye to eye, you will speak with Krishna face to face, you will play with Krishna, you will live with Krishna. So emphatically Srila Prabhupada is saying. So he was training his followers that we are now practicing Krishna consciousness for an eternal life of a loving relationship with Krishna. So we are going to hear Krishna's pastimes, especially these prayers, to understand how Krishna is the abode of supreme love. And if we hear about him, pray to him, we can also experience a loving relationship with Krishna. And also this Kaliya pastime is very sweet because, you know, there is greatness of Krishna seen, like he's punishing a huge serpent. At the same time, he does it in such a way that there is the element of sweetness also. You know, most of the religions talk about God as great, great, great. All theistic religions. So, Hare Krishna also say God is great. But we have one additional element which other religions don't have. That God is great and God is also sweet. So to understand and appreciate these prayers fully, we'll have to do a little flashback. We'll go back to the past time, what actually happened in Vrindavan. One day, Mother Yashoda, she told Krishna, be careful because that day morning Krishna was going to the Vrindavan forest as usual. But he was going without Balram. Evam sa Bhagavan Krishna Vrindavana Charakvachit Yayau Ramam Rite Rajan Kalindim Sakibirvrita. So Krishna wandered about Vrindavan area and he went without Balram on this day. So Mother Yashoda told Krishna, Krishna, be careful, you are going without Balram. Don't go near the Kaliya lake. There is a huge serpent there. And Krishna said, yes, Mother, I will never go there. And Balram was not coming with Krishna that day. Why Balram did not come with Krishna? You know, there is another pastime also where Balram didn't go with Krishna. Which pastime? Aghasur pastime. Now, why Balram didn't go on both days, when Aghasur pastime took place and also when Kaliya pastime took place? Birthday, Balram. There is another reason. Acharyas explain that because it would have been a very incongruent situation, it would have been a very awkward situation because Aghasur is also a huge serpent and Kaliya is also a huge serpent. But they are tiny and insignificant compared to Lord Anantashesh, who is coming from Lord Balram. So if Balramji comes there, it would look so silly that some silly snake is, you know, devouring all the boys and Krishna is going to fight. It would look so silly. So this is the reason why Balram did not go. Yogamaya arranged in such a way. Also, Balram is always protecting Krishna. So because he is protecting Krishna, he may not allow Krishna to jump into Kaliya lake and fight with Kaliya. That also Balram may not allow. So Balram is always protecting Krishna. Like, you know, once he complained to Mother Yashoda, we heard such beautiful nectar from Gaurang Prabhu that, you know, Balram complained that Krishna ate dirt. And Krishna kept denying. Now, actually, if you see what happened, did Krishna actually eat dirt or not? Balramji is saying he ate, but Krishna is denying. What is the reality? Did Krishna actually eat dirt? It actually, the correct answer for this is, whether Krishna ate dirt or not depends on which party you are in. If you are in Balram's party, Krishna ate dirt. If you are in Krishna's party, Krishna did not eat dirt. So Balram would always, you know, he would always be protecting Krishna and they would have loving sweet pastimes. Once Balram told Krishna that, why you are always wearing this peacock feather and, you know, carrying flute, I also want. So he took from Krishna that day and put the flute and peacock feather and he went to the forest. And that was the day when Kamsa had sent Keshi. And when Keshi came, Keshi first mistook Balram to be Krishna and he kicked Balram in such a way that Balram went and fell a few yards. And Balram got up and said, my God, this is the problem. If I put Krishna's dress, anybody comes like this, any demon comes like this. So he went back to Krishna and said, take your flute, take your peacock feather, I don't want. So like this, they would have very sweet pastimes. But of course, as we are hearing the sweetness of Krishna, the sweet pastimes of Vrindavan, we should also soberly meditate on Krishna's greatness, as Govind Prabhu said. Because otherwise, we will become sahajiyas. Because sahajiyas, they don't understand, they don't meditate on Krishna's greatness, they don't follow strict regulative principles, they only speak about, you know, Radhe Radhe and Vrindavan. So we have to have a balance of understanding Krishna's greatness and along with that Krishna's sweetness. Like once when Srila Prabhupada was first time in Vrindavan, from America he had come with his disciples, Achyutanand and Kirtanand. So Achyutanand Prabhu was taking darshan of Radha Damodar temple. You know, in Vrindavan, Radha Damodar temple has many deities. So one man came to Achyutanand Prabhu and asked him, which one you like the most? He looked at the deities. So Achyutanand Prabhu said, all, I like all the deities. So this man said, I like that one. He pointed to one deity. Because it looks like General Chaudhary, who was some army chief. So Achyutanand was, you know, disgusted. He went and told Prabhupada and Prabhupada became very grave. He said, this is the problem in India. You know, they are seeing Lord Krishna is in Vrindavan in his deity, beautiful deity form. They are comparing him with some army chief and Prabhupada said, this is the problem with not understanding the philosophy and only sentimentally worshipping Krishna. So we should know that Krishna is very great, is the greatest personality and also he performs sweet pastime. We should understand both aspects. So on this day, this beautiful pastime is taking place. Krishna and all the cowherd boyfriends and the cows start running towards Vrindavan forest. And the cows and boys, they walked ahead. At one point of time, they felt very thirsty. It was summer. And they reached Kaliya Lake. And they drank. And when they drank, because it was contaminated with poison of Kaliya, they fell down dead. And as soon as they died, Krishna looked at them and cast his merciful glance and they came back to life. So actually in one sense we are also dead spiritually, because we are also attracted to vishay, which is wish, which is sense gratification, which is poison. But our hope is Krishna casts his merciful glance upon us. Then we also will find spiritual strength, will find spiritual life. And as soon as the boys got up and the cows and all of them, all the calves, they came back to life, the boys looked at each other and wondered, do you know the secret? How did we all come back to life? We were dead. And one boy said, I know the secret. During the name-giving ceremony, Gargacharya, he had declared that this Krishna, this boy, he will save you from all dangers. So he has saved all of us. And then the boys concluded that all this has happened because Krishna is glancing upon us. Anvamam satatad rajan govindanugrahekshitam pitva visham paretasya punar utthanam atmana. The cowherd boys considered that they had drunk poison and died, but still Govinda anugrahekshitam, Krishna's merciful glance brought them back to life. And they said, Krishna is great! Krishna is wonderful! They did not say Krishna is God. They were so happy. Although Sukadeva Goswami is calling Krishna in this verse as Krishna Yogeshwareshwara. He is Yogeshwareshwara. He is Ishwara of all the Yogeshwaras. Bhagavad Gita declares Krishna to be Yogeshwar. But Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is saying Krishna is Yogeshwareshwara, the Supreme Lord. But the cowherd boys are saying, oh, Krishna is not God. He is wonderful. He saved us. Just imagine. Somebody saves, somebody brings somebody back from death, we would naturally conclude this person must be God. But the cowherd boys, in their intimate loving relationship, they conclude that our Krishna is wonderful. But somebody may think, but didn't they ever realize that this boy is saving from death? He has to be God. No, they would feel, oh, he is empowered by Lord Vishnu. Krishna can never kill demons. How can he kill demons? Vishnu enters him, because Mother Yashoda is praying so intensely. So Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan enters Krishna and he kills all the demons. Lord Narayan kills all the demons. Actually they are right. Shastrically also. Because Krishna never kills demons, and that's what happens. And they are thinking, because Mother Yashoda is praying, and they are thinking, because Krishna cannot kill, because we defeat Krishna while wrestling with him, while playing games with him. And this was the sweetness of Krishna, which Uddhava also realizes later on when he comes to Vrindavan. Because he sees that Brajvasis are always protective about Krishna. They are always thinking of how to protect Krishna. And even when Krishna protects them, they give all credit to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. And they simply glorify Krishna. And when Krishna would kill demons, they would come back home running in the evening. And they would tell their parents, you know, mother, you know, father, what happened today? Krishna killed this demon. This is what happened. This is what happened. But they were not saying it in the mood that Krishna is actually killing or Krishna is God. They were like, you know, they would come and the whole Vrindavan would be filled with this news. They were like reporters. They would report whatever happened that day. And everybody would celebrate this. Once Krishna told them while wrestling with them, while fighting because of some games, Krishna said, I am God. Don't you know? I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they all started laughing. What you are saying? You are God. We defeat you. So then Krishna said, no, but don't you know, I killed Agasur. We are all trapped inside. I killed Putana when I was just a few days old. And I lifted Govardhan mountain. All of you have forgotten these pastimes. So then one cowherd boy said, see, you killed Putana not because you had power, because Mother Yashoda is chanting mantras for your protection. So Putana got killed. And Aghasur, we already entered that serpent's mouth and we killed him. Then you entered afterwards. And Govardhan, we did such a nice elaborate worship of Govardhan. Govardhan became so happy with us. And he became so ecstatic that he jumped into the air. And you just put your little finger on top just to show that you are holding it. And Madhu Mangal said, and I was holding my stick. So like this, they were convinced. Even Mother Yashoda was convinced that Nanda Maharaj, her husband and other coward men had actually held the Govardhan. They couldn't believe that Krishna is God or he could do something Herculean like this. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a nice example for this. That this sweetness of Vrindavan is so intense that the Brajavasis could not understand Krishna's opulence and Krishna's position as God. He compares this with a golden pot which is filled with condensed ghee. And inside that pot, under that condensed ghee, is a diamond. Now, can you see that diamond if the whole bottle is filled with condensed, thick ghee? You cannot. So, if you have to see the diamond, the ghee has to melt. Then you can see. Similarly, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the love of the Brajavasis is like condensed nectar ghee. And Krishna's opulences, his Aishwarya, is like the diamond. So in that sweetness of thick love of the Brajavasis, Krishna's opulences cannot be seen. So that love, that ghee-like love, has to melt. And that's what happens in Dwarka. Dwarka is little lesser compared to Vrindavan. And that's why in Dwarka they could appreciate Krishna's Aishwarya. In fact, in Vrindavan, Krishna himself forgets his position as God. He becomes so absorbed in relishing nectar of the loving relationship with his devotees that he considers himself as an ordinary person. He gets immersed in his own leela. Just like a bumblebee enters the lotus flower to get nectar, and as the bee is getting nectar, the petals close for the day and the bee can easily penetrate the petals and come out, but it doesn't come out. It is so busy sucking nectar that the petals close and the bumblebee doesn't come out. It's completely covered. Similarly, Krishna, he enters the hearts of his devotees, which is like a beautiful lotus flower, lotus petal, and which has so much nectar. And Krishna, like the bumblebee, is relishing that nectar so much that even though he is covered, he doesn't mind. In the sense, he starts relishing the nectar so much that the knowledge aspect of his identity, Krishna's personality, the knowledge that he is God, that gets covered. But Krishna doesn't mind because he is relishing the sweetness of Vrindavan. But this is Vrindavan. And that is why you will see that in Vrindavan, all the Brajavasis, they celebrate, they glorify Krishna, but not because he is God. Mother Yashoda, when she would be bathing Krishna, she would be praying, may Lord Rishikesha protect you from this side, may Lord Narayan protect you from this side. So she would be praying and chanting the names of Lord Vishnu. And this is what Uddhava realized when he came to Vrindavan, because he is Shastragya, disciple of Brihaspati, he knows everything. But he could not know and understand the love of Brijvasis. He got bewildered by seeing their love. And he realized that there is some higher understanding of love for Krishna which I have no idea. So when he comes with a message from Krishna to Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj meets him and they have a discussion. And Nanda Maharaj tells Uddhava, I heard that Krishna is going to Gurukul and is reading a very austere life. But my dear Krishna is not meant for austerities. He is our milk drinking baby child. How can he perform such austerities? So Uddhava, because he is Shastragya, he knows all the Shastra perfectly, he starts analyzing what Nanda Maharaj is saying. He says, oh, Nanda Maharaj is speaking out of love. This is Preeti. Preeti means affection. And affection, because of this affection, he wants to give blessings to Krishna. This is Anugraha. This is coming from Vatsalya Ras. So he knows all the rasas. He has all the technical knowledge. So he is analyzing all this as Nanda Maharaj is expressing how Krishna should not be doing this. So Uddhava says, I think I should explain to him how, you know, Krishna is something. He is not just a child, he is Supreme Lord. So Uddhava says, my dear Nanda Maharaj, please understand, Krishna is not simply an ordinary baby drinking milk. He is extraordinary. He is very powerful. And immediately Nanda Maharaj interrupts. He says, but he is my child. And then Nanda Maharaj says that we are burning in separation. When will he come back? Govardhan is shrinking in his absence, in his separation. Yamuna is getting dried up. The forests have become like a desert without Krishna. Even in ordinary family affairs, when a relative is dying, the family members come back. We are dying in separation. Why doesn't Krishna come back? So, now Uddhava is stumped. He doesn't know what to say. So Uddhava starts giving different explanations how Krishna is great. Then he says, you know, Krishna defeated Jarasandha 17 times. Now, Jarasandha had huge armies consisting of lakhs of soldiers. And Krishna effortlessly defeated him. Anybody would conclude that he is God. And Nanda Maharaj's conclusion is, oh, 17 times before Jarasandha. So much anxiety is taking. He should not take so much anxiety. This is not good for him. And then remembering Krishna, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, they start crying. And as they start crying, Uddhava is completely bewildered. Because he is a Shastra guy, he knows all the Shastra. Generally when a person is crying, Uddhava knows how to console that person. He would immediately quote 2.14 Bhagavad Gita, you are not the body, and tolerate happiness and distress. All these verses, he also knows. But here he is saying, I cannot console them. Ordinary person, we have to console because he is on the bodily platform. But the goal of life is to cry for Krishna, and they are crying for Krishna. So then he tells them, cry, cry more. Because you have reached the perfection of spiritual life. So at that time, Uddhava gets a fantastic realization. He gets an amazing realization about what is this love of Brijvasis for Krishna. He realizes that knowledge is like sun, and ignorance is like darkness. So when there is sun, darkness goes away. So when there is knowledge about Krishna, all ignorance goes away. But if we want to see the pole star, then sun cannot be there. The sun has to go away, there has to be darkness, then you can see pole star. So then Uddhava realizes, the love of Brijvasis for Krishna is like pole star. With all the knowledge which is like sun, with all that light of knowledge, you cannot dispel this. You cannot see the pole star like love of Brijvasis with all our knowledge of scriptures. And by getting this realization, he becomes humbled. So once Gauranga Prabhu was telling me that he was trying to give a modern parallel to it. So he said, Uddhava went to Vrindavan wearing a hat of jnana. He was a jnana mishra bhakti. He had knowledge about Krishna. So he said, Uddhava wore a big hat, and when he went to Vrindavan and he saw the Brijvasis' love for Krishna, he saw that their love is very high. So he kept looking, and then he saw, no, their love is even higher. So he kept seeing. It was so high that his hat of jnana, knowledge, that hat fell down. He realized that, you know, this love is something beyond my comprehension. And he is the disciple of Brihaspati, and he cannot figure this out. That's why Uddhava, Krishna had sent him actually there, so that he understand that there is a highest understanding of love. And Uddhava, but he still doesn't give up. He starts explaining to, you know, Nanda Maharaj that, actually Nanda Maharaj, you are very fortunate. Krishna is your son, you are very fortunate. And you know, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. He reveals the identity of Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj immediately says, Uddhava, I thought you were intelligent. But you are foolish. You are childish. And then Uddhava starts thinking, what is this love? What am I seeing? You know, I am not able to convince. And then Nanda Maharaj says, I am not learned in scriptures like you. But whatever little I know of scriptures, I have heard that Lord, Supreme God is Narayan. Narayan means someone who gives shelter to everyone. But Krishna, we are giving him shelter. And Narayan, Supreme Lord, is supposed to be aptakam, completely satisfied. But Krishna is always stealing butter. He is not satisfied. And Lord Narayan is satyakam. He is always truthful. But our Krishna is always speaking lies. And we have heard that Lord Narayan is Sarva Karana Karanam is cause of all causes. But we are the cause of our child, Krishna. So how can you say the Supreme Lord? So like this, he starts giving different arguments. You say, you know, Lord Vishnu is peaceful, Shanta. But our child, Krishna, is always fickle, restless, greedy for butter. And Lord Narayan is someone seeing whom fear personified runs away. But our little Krishna, when he would see strangers, he would come running to us out of fear and Mother Yashoda would embrace him. He is our child, Nanda Maharaj conclusively establishes. And we are not most fortunate, we are most unfortunate because we are miserable, suffering separation from him. So like this, Uddhava gets humbled and Acharyas explain that this is called as Kevala Bhakti. Pure devotional service where there is no mixture of knowledge about Krishna's opulence. Even Arjuna, he loved Krishna in Sakyaras. But Arjuna, his love for Krishna in Sakyaras was, that love was penetrated with awe and reverence when he heard about Krishna's, he saw Krishna's Virat Rupa, Krishna's opulence. So, that knowledge of Krishna's greatness penetrated his love for Krishna, which was in Sakyaras. Even Vasudeva and Devaki, they loved Krishna as their child, but when Krishna paid obeisances to them, they stood back. They knew his God, his Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, by understanding of Krishna's greatness, that love was little shrunken. But in Vrindavan, they have no doubts. They know that Krishna is not God. They think like this. In fact, sometimes, you know, when Krishna does Herculean task, something spectacular, so they all, Brijvasis meet and they say, this is powerful. Who can an ordinary person do this? Then they're intellectually discussing now. Ordinary person cannot do this. Who is this Krishna? Then Nanda Maharaj gives a conclusion. He says, perhaps he is some demigod. And that also perhaps, he says, he is not sure. He is not saying that certainly he is a demigod. And you know, you may sometimes find that in some pastimes, some Brijvasi may say, oh, he is God or he is Supreme Lord. You should know, see, that is not their general mood. It's like they are alluding to Krishna's supreme position. It's not that they feel Krishna as supreme position. Like when there is a milk boiling in a pot and if there is a blade of grass inside that milk, sometimes that blade of grass may come up. But just for 1 or 2 seconds, then that blade of grass will again go inside. Similarly, the love of Brijvasis for Krishna is like that boiling milk. And knowledge about Krishna's greatness is like that one blade of grass, you know, which sometime it may come up for 1 second, then again it will go up. But they never meditate on Krishna's greatness. Sometimes even if a Brijvasi says Krishna is God, that is because he has heard from some devotee who is in Aishwarya mood of conception and he is just repeating it. And Nanda Maharaj, if he is saying something, he is generally repeating what Gargacharya says, but he is never meditating upon it and thinking that Krishna is God. So the mood of Brijvasis is that, you know, generally a devotee feels I belong to Krishna. But the Brijvasis mood is Krishna is mine, mamatva bhav. And this is what Uddhava realized, that the Brijvasis prema, love for Krishna, cannot be penetrated with any amount of knowledge. And this is Vrindavan. This is where Krishna is residing. And this is where we are all aspiring to go after we finish our bodily existence. Just like, you know, young students, if you ask them, what is your aim? So some student may say, my aim is IIT. Or some student may say, my aim is, you know, All India Institute of Medical Science or IAS. So every sadhana bhakta, everybody who's practiced sadhana bhakti, what is our destination? What is our goal? Our goal is Vrindavan. And Krishna is inviting us to Vrindavan. So we are practicing devotional service and remembering the love of the Brijvasis for Krishna and aspiring to develop love for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada gave this Vrindavan so easily, accessible, he made it accessible to all of us. Once Vishal Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, he was outside Krishna Balram temple. Prabhupada was on his morning walk. And Prabhupada would do parikrama of the temple, and as soon as Vishal Prabhu would see Prabhupada, he would immediately shout, Vrindavan Dham ki jai! And then Prabhupada would come back again And then again he would look at Prabhupada and Vrindavan Dham ki jai. He kept saying that. Prabhupada looked at him the third round and smiled. And with his cane he lifted and said, "Oh, you love Vrindavan?" And Vishal Prabhu said, "Yes, Prabhupada, Vrindavan Dham ki jai." And Prabhupada with his right hand said, "You love Vrindavan? Take it." And Deenbandhu Prabhu from Vrindavan, he was giving a purport to this pastime. He said, "Vrindavan is so inaccessible that Uddhava wants to be a gulmalata, a blade of grass outside Vrindavan so that the gopis can trample upon him. Brahma, Shiva, all great personalities, they cannot access Vrindavan, and a pure devotee of the Lord, by the flick of his finger, he is giving Vrindavan." This is Srila Prabhupada's compassion, that he is giving us access to this most wonderful place of Vrindavan, from where we have all come back to this material, we have come to this material world, and to the place of Vrindavan we have to go back. That is our goal. So we are hearing these pastimes, glorifying the love of the Brijbasis in this mood, that we want to also go back to Vrindavan. So this, coming back to the pastime, the boys were feeling happy that Krishna has saved us, Krishna is wonderful. And then Shukadeva Goswami says, what Krishna did, he got very angry. He said, "This Kaliya, he is causing so much trouble, I have to punish him." And this is a very beautiful verse. Viloke dushitam krishnam krishna krishna hina vibhu tasya vishuddhim anvichan sarpam tam udavasayat. In this verse, three people are called as Krishna by Shukadeva Goswami. Viloke dushitam krishna, the lake was contaminated by Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hina Vibhu. He is calling, Sukadeva Goswami calls the lake as Krishna. He calls Krishna as Krishna. And he calls Kaliya also as Krishna. How? Lake became black because of the poison of Kaliya. So he is calling as Krishna, means black. And Krishna is Krishna. And Krishna Hina. Aina means snake. And the black snake. So he calls Kaliya also as a black snake. So like this beautifully he chants this verse. And how sarpam tat udavasayat, how Krishna banished Kaliya. So now a question may arise, why Krishna did not punish Kaliya earlier? Because Krishna has come to punish demons, and Krishna knew that there is a demon here. Mother Yashoda also knew. She told Krishna not to go. So you could have punished Kaliya much earlier, isn't it? Why he had to allow this coward boyfriends to die and all that to happen? The reason is, Krishna did not punish Kaliya earlier because Krishna was feeling shy. Somebody may think, why Krishna was feeling shy? Because Krishna knew that Kaliya's wives were pure devotees. And they love him. So he was feeling, how can I, if I do something to Kaliya, they will feel bad. They are my pure devotees. So he didn't want to. Krishna was embarrassed and confused. So Krishna did not punish. But now what happened? His coward boyfriends were killed. So he got really angry and he decided to take action. So Maharaj Parikshit tells Sukadeva Goswami, "Oh, what happened? How did Krishna banish Kaliya? Please say more." Parikshit Maharaj was not a passive hearer. After 5 days of hearing, it's not that, and he was just waiting for the 7 days to get over and the class to get over. No, he was actively listening, asking questions. So he was very excited. So then he asked Sukadeva Goswami, "Please tell me more about Krishna. My heart is not satisfied. I want to hear more." Now you may think, even a materialistic person is not satisfied. Is it the same? No. Materialistic person has to keep hearing new songs. He has to keep watching new movies to overcome his dissatisfaction. But Parikshit Maharaj, he is hearing the same pastime. He has heard Kaliya pastime from childhood. He has heard he knows Bhagavatam, Krishna's pastime from childhood. But now he wants to hear the same pastime again and again and again. So he is very excited. And then Shukadeva Goswami, to satisfy Parikshit Maharaj's heart, he starts explaining what happened. He says, Yamuna was this particular lake, which was in the southern part of Yamuna. This was not in the main stream of Yamuna, because then Mathura and other cities would also get affected. So this was around an 8-mile lake. And in that lake, this black serpent Kaliya lived, whose poison was boiling the waters of this lake. And the vapors were so poisonous that the birds which would be flying above this lake would fall down dead just by coming in contact with the poisonous vapors. And such intensity was there in the poison that even demigods would be afraid to fly over this lake. And the wind which was blowing, that wind would carry the droplets, the water droplets, into the shore, and that killed all the vegetation on the shore. So, and Kaliya was expert, he knew the science of Jalastambha, how to make solid items out of water. So he built a big city, palace, inside the lake for himself. So then Krishna saw that Kaliya is polluted, I must take action. So then he climbed a Kadamba tree which was there, which was the only tree that was not dead. He climbed on that tree, he slapped his arms like a wrestler, asked Fortya Garda Rashano Nepatad Vishode, he slapped as if he's going to have now a match, wrestling match. Then he slapped his thighs, he tightened his belt, then he tightened his hairs, and then he jumped. Now this Kadamba tree had not died because Garuda had put nectar on the tree, because Garuda knew that Krishna is going to come and perform this pastime. And also some acharyas say, just by Krishna's touch, this tree came back to life. So Krishna, after tightening the locks of his hair, jumped. And as soon as he jumped into the river, huge sound was created and all the water came out. Not all, some water came out. And it was a huge, like, you know, splash. And all the serpents within that lake, they became very agitated and angry that somebody is intruding. But Krishna jumped into the water and he started splashing the water, and such expertise he was splashing that it was creating musical sounds. That is Krishna's expertise. And Kaliya became very angry that who is coming and invading my territory? As Govind Prabhu was saying, Kaliya's pastime is like, you know, we should understand, Kaliya represents modern civilization. And all modern civilization psychology is there in Kaliya, or vice versa, whatever you say. You know. So Kaliya was feeling threatened, insecure, somebody is coming in to my territory. And the water had now become, you know, Kaliya had made the water not just poisonous and black, many times it would be reddish yellow also. So much kind of poison was there. So now also we see the holy rivers, all because of industrialization, they have been made so contaminated, poisonous, you can't drink that water. And like Kaliya was very insecure and got angry when Krishna came to his lake, Srila Prabhupada once said modern immigration officials are like that. When they see people are coming to their country, they have a lot of questions they ask, interrogation. And Srila Prabhupada contrasted this with Vedic culture. He said in Vedic culture, we welcome everyone. That's why India was invaded by so many people. India was, you know, welcoming everyone. Actually, this pastime happened here when Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk. He was staying in here, Bombay, South Bombay. So they were going, they had gone for a morning walk. They parked their car at Marine Drive and they were walking on the Marine Drive. And after the walk, they came back to the car. It was a white ambassador car. They wanted to come back to the house. So Shrutakirti Prabhu and Shamsundar Prabhu were there. So Shamsundar Prabhu opened the car, sat on the driver's seat. Prabhupada and Shrutakirti Prabhu sat behind. And Shamsundar Prabhu started the car. The car would not start. So again and again he tried. Finally, for Prabhupada, this car is not starting. I will get a taxi. So he went. After he went, suddenly two distinguished gentlemen came in. They opened the car. They smiled at Prabhupada. They sat. One man sat on the driver's seat. The other sat next to him. And they started the car. And they looked at Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, where should we drop you? Essentially, that car was theirs. And Prabhupada, Shrutakirti Prabhu and Shamsundar Prabhu had accidentally entered and sat on that car thinking it was their car, because that car, that time only ambassador was there, you know, those days, ambassador and Fiat. So they thought it is their car and the devotees sat there. But then the real owners of the car came and they didn't get angry. Hey, our car, you are sitting. They just asked, Swamiji, where should we drop you? By this time, Shamsundar Prabhu came back and then Prabhupada explained to the owner of the car how foolish his disciples were, what the mistake they had done. And they said, no, 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 no problem, Swamiji, we'll drop you. So then Srila Prabhupada said, this is Vedic culture. You know, they are modern times, if you can't imagine somebody sitting in your car like this, you will see, you will immediately call police. So like this culture of welcoming, this culture of hospitality is Vedic culture. But modern culture is, when there is insecurity and, you know, fighting. So Kaliya represents that mood, modern mood, mood of modernism. And he saw that Krishna is beautiful. There are verses describing Krishna's beauty. How Krishna was wearing yellow silken garments, very delicate features, and his attractive body was glowing like a white cloud. Generally we hear Krishna's body is as beautiful as black cloud. But Sukadeva Goswami is saying, Sukumara Ghanavadatam. Avadatam means white. So Krishna's body was resplendent like a white cloud because he was in the black waters of Kaliya Lake. And Kaliya was black. He is black. But his beauty has to be different. It has to explain how he was effulgent. Sukadeva Goswami says how his body was like a white cloud. And so attractive, wonderful features, but Kaliya became angry and more envious. He is seeing such an attractive person is there in front of him, but he is becoming more envious. This is the problem with demons. Even Duryodhan, at one point of time during the war, when Krishna and Arjuna were chasing after Jayadrath, Duryodhan realized that, oh my God, how is he doing all this? And then he said, Krishna has to be God. All these things he is doing. And then immediately said, no, but I'll kill him. I'll kill Arjuna. No, he cannot be God. So, even if they get a little glimpse of Krishna's greatness, Krishna's sweetness, the demoniac people, because of envy, they cannot accept. So, Kaliya could not accept. Meanwhile, then Kaliya attacked and he grabbed Krishna in his coils. And Krishna allowed himself to be bound. And now, all the coward friends, the cows, they saw Krishna is enveloped in the coils of Kaliya. Now they had offered their everything, themselves, their families, their wealth, all their pleasures for the satisfaction of Krishna. And now seeing Krishna bound up by Kaliya's coils, they became grief-stricken, their intelligence became deranged. They just fell to the ground. And there were some farmers and some elderly covered men nearby doing their services. They saw some commotion is going on. They came to the shore of Kaliya Lake. And they saw all these covered boys crying, the cows crying, falling on the ground. They also fell unconscious. And the cows, they started crying, the bulls, the cows, they started crying, shedding tears. And some cows and bulls were so shocked that they became like statues and their tears dried up. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, that in Vrindavan, even the cows and calves know how to cry for Krishna. For most of us, it is other way around. It is, instead of we crying for Krishna, it is Krishna crying for us. When will he become devotee? How much program is attending? How much prasad is eating? Still is not becoming devotee. Still is not chanting. A lot of difference between, anyway. So then, and then, as Krishna was enveloped and devotees were crying, falling unconscious, suddenly fearful omens started coming. There was earthquakes, the meteors started falling from the sky, the bodies of the Brijvasis started shivering, and the elderly male members started feeling twitching of their left eye. Somebody may say, how can there be inauspiciousness when Krishna is there in Vrindavan? Actually, there is no inauspiciousness, but the demigods in charge of all these things, they created this just to indicate how Brijvasis are lamenting. Just to indicate that. And actually demigods also got attracted. They are generally meditating on Krishna's greatness. But they also got attracted by Krishna's sweetness of Vrindavan. Of the Madhurya mood of the sweetness of Vrindavan. That they also wanted to cover Krishna's knowledge, Krishna's Aishwarya potency. So therefore they created this kind of omens. And mainly the main reason why they did that was, they were wondering now, how will the Brijvasis know that Krishna is caught in the coils of Kaliya? Because all those who are supposed to inform, they are so shocked that they are just there on the shore of the lake. They are not going to Vrindavan and reporting. Somebody has to tell them. So they created these inauspicious signs. And when these omens came, Nanda Maharaj and all the others thought, Krishna has gone today to Vrindavan forest without Balram. And these inauspicious signs are there. This means Krishna is in danger. He may be killed. We have to go and protect him. And just like a cow thinks of her helpless calf, all the Brijvasis, including animals and birds, everyone thought of Krishna. And they all ran towards the forest of Vrindavan, seeing Krishna's footsteps, the footprints. One person did not panic, as everyone was panicking. Who was that? Balramji. Karam Prabhu quoted this beautiful verse, Bhagavan Madhavo Bala, because Sukadeva Goswami says Balaramji did not get bewildered. Why? Because he knew the extraordinary power of his younger brother. He was thinking, Krishna never plays with me. I am in the form of Ananta Shesh. He has never played with me. But with his ordinary mundane snake, he is playing today. But then the other Brijbasis, they were in great panic, great shock. They were experiencing intense spiritual emotions of anguish. Now we should understand, externally it may appear anxiety, worry, this is materially it may appear to be a negative emotion. But when it comes to Brijbasis, this actually increases their love. You know, Madhavendra Puri, he was chanting during his last days in this earthly planet, performing pastimes. He was remembering Krishna and crying in separation. Gaur Krishna Babaji Maharaj was crying in separation from Krishna. So, although it may be externally appearing to be crying and lamentation, because these emotions are filled with Krishna, it gives great happiness. Whereas in material world, we may be celebrating and externally appearing to be very happy, and that enjoyment of happiness, because it is devoid of Krishna, there is a seed of misery in that. And we actually become double miserable. I remember I had one friend in college during our last semester campus placements. One company came and they were offering a very high salary, some seven figure salary, something very high salary, and they wanted only one person from the campus. And this boy got that job, you know, that interview, so many interviews they had. And as soon as he got, he became so happy, he was roaring and enjoying, and he threw a big party. And I was a little uncomfortable. And then after 1 year when I met him, he was so miserable. He was in that company, but he was so miserable, he was being discriminated, exploitation. And I was thinking, 1 year ago he was so happy. I could see that the misery that he was experiencing was double of the enjoyment that he had 1 year ago. That's material world. So we may be happy, we may be enjoying in this material world, because it is devoid of Krishna, that enjoyment is also suffering. But when Brijvasis are crying and they are in anguish, that is increasing their ecstasies. So basically what they are revealing in this pastime is, if we are remembering Krishna, then that favorable remembrance of Krishna is what actually gives happiness. Happiness is not in making some material adjustments. I will make my life like this, like this, like this, then I will be happy. No. If you are remembering Krishna favorably, if you are depending on Krishna, then there is real happiness. We may make all arrangements, we may have everything, but our heart will still remain, you know, there will be a void in the heart. The hole will be there, unless we fill that hole with the complete whole, Krishna. So that comes by remembrance of Krishna. So this is what Brajavasis, they were crying and they ran, seeing the footprints of Krishna. And they saw the beautiful footprints of Krishna and they were running. Somebody may think, you know, Krishna is running in Vrindavan, his footprints could have been easily smudged over. They could have easily been obliterated by so many cows, so many birds, so many people are there in Vrindavan. But Krishna's footprint would always be there on the sand and the grass, and people could see that and walk. But how come Krishna's footprints are never obliterated, never wiped off? Because Krishna is the wealth of all living beings in Vrindavan. For them, Krishna is everything. So they would carefully preserve Krishna's footprints as great treasures and ornaments of planet Earth. So they would never walk upon Krishna's footprints. So like this they came. And when they came to the lake, what did they see? Krishna in the coils of this serpent Kaliya. And they not only saw that, they saw all the other boys are, some are unconscious, some are falling down, you know. Like, also I see some devotees are falling. So we are falling, and some animals are shocked, crying, different emotions are going on. And suddenly these elderly Brijvasis who have come from Vrindavan, they run towards these boys and they ask them, what happened? There is a panic inquiry going on now. Oh, did Kaliya come to the shore and drag Krishna inside? Or Krishna himself jumped in? What happened? Tell us. But these boys would just look straight, you know, as if they had no expression. And the elderly Brijvasis would ask, come on, tell us what happened. Was this Krishna's idea to enter into the lake? Or did you give him the idea? But again, the Brijvasis would not reply at all. And seeing this, they also, all the others who came from Vrindavan, they also fell into great lamentation. And the young gopis, their anguish was very intense. Because they would remember Krishna every day at home. They would remember Krishna's flute sound. Sometimes they would be incoherent in their talking. They would be remembering Krishna intensely. And now they are seeing Krishna like this. They are shattered.
Esyananam makara kundala charu karana brajat kapola subhagam savilasa hasam nityotsavam natatrupur drishibir pibantyo naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha.
The gopis and the gopas of Vrindavan, they would be meditating on Krishna's beautiful eyebrows, Krishna's smile, Krishna's earrings, Krishna's forehead, his peacock feather. Brajat kapola subhagam and sir vilasa hasam, his attractive smile. And this would be a nityotsava, an eternal festival for the Brijavasis. Na tatrupur drishibir pibantyo, they would be drinking the nectar of Krishna's beauty with their eyes. Their eyes would be like the cups through which they would drink the nectar, but they would not be satisfied. They would be so wanting more and more, so much that Naryo Narascha Mudita Kupita Nimescha, because of that one nimish of separation from Krishna because of the eyelids, they even criticized Lord Brahma. That is how intensely they were staring at Krishna always, and now also they are staring at Krishna intensely, but this is not what they want to see. Here Krishna is trapped in the coils. And what was the anguish of those in the Vatsalya bhav? They were also extremely grief-stricken. And Mother Yashoda, she just wanted to jump into the lake. And the other elderly gopis were also as anguished as Mother Yashoda, but their service was to stop Mother Yashoda. So hiding and suppressing their lamentation, they caught hold of Mother Yashoda and then they started singing. All the gopis took turn. In turn, they started recounting Krishna's pastimes to pacify Mother Yashoda. And they started describing different pastimes that Krishna performed. They started describing how Krishna would be stealing butter. Like once Mother Yashoda told Krishna, Krishna, get one she-calf. So Krishna bought a she-calf. And while he was getting inside, he saw a beautiful big butter pot hanging. And Krishna became greedy for butter. Then Krishna said, but my hand is not... I'm not able to reach. What to do? What to do? Then he got an idea. There was nothing nearby on which he could stand. Then he saw this she-calf is there. Mother Yashoda has asked for the she-calf. So then he started wrestling with the she-calf and tried to stand on the she-calf. And the she-calf was refusing. Finally, after some struggle and play, Krishna stood on the she-calf. And then he held the butter pot. And he put his hand inside. And as he was taking the butter, the calf ran away. Then Krishna was hanging on the butter pot. And then he shouted loudly, Mother, Mother, and he called out to his mother. And Mother Yashoda came running and she saw. And she said, oh, so now you have been caught red-handed. And then all the other gopis came and everybody surrounded Krishna. And Krishna started saying, he started crying, please Mother, release me, I'm stuck here. And Mother Yashoda and all the gopis said, no, now we will not release you. Now we want to enjoy this. We want to see you like this only. And for a long time they were all laughing and Krishna was crying. So now the gopis are recounting this pastime, how Krishna would be in a helpless situation. But now also, as Kaliya has enveloped Krishna in his coils, now also Krishna is helpless. But now they are not laughing, they are crying. They are in great anguish. And the other elderly men, the coward men, who had dedicated their lives to Krishna, they became so angry now to see Kaliya has enveloped Krishna. So they decided to jump into the lake to fight against Kaliya. Now Balram immediately saw this because he knew Krishna's power. He immediately stopped them. So he immediately, some coward men, he stopped them by speaking to them. Don't go, you know, like that. And some he just smiled at them and they just stopped. And some people he physically stopped them. And then Balram gave arguments to all of them. Why do you want to enter the lake? Don't you remember what Gargacharya said during the name-giving ceremony? He said, this boy will save you from all dangers. He is going to save us from all dangers. Just be patient. If you all jump into the lake and if you all drown and die, then who will take care of Krishna when he comes back? Who will maintain Krishna? Also, you have been ordered by Gargacharya to take care of Krishna, to protect him. So be here. For like that, very assertively speaking. So as as Balramji instructed them, they stopped. Now, the anguish was increasing more and more, and for 2 hours, Kaliya had caught Krishna. 2 hours. And they were just about to give up their bodies in that anxiety. Then Krishna tightened and Kaliya had to slacken his coils. So this anxiousness, this anxiety is actually pure love. We should understand that anxiety in Vrindavan for Krishna, it actually increases the attachment to Krishna. In spiritual world, everything, right from garland to the landscape, to any activity that happens, that acts as uddipan, as a stimulant to increase ecstatic love. You know, we can give a perverted, not perverted, an example in the material world. A mother, she has love for her child, intense love for her child. Now when the child comes running with the arms raised, now already that love is there, but seeing this activity of the child running, that stimulates affection. So now the mother becomes so ecstatic that she starts embracing the child, hugging the child, kissing the child. Now this action is a result of already love that was existing, plus this stimulation. But by expressing this affection, which is a result of love, love increases more. And then next time when there is another stimulation, then there is more affection expressed. And then that affection that which is expressed creates more love. You know? So like that in spiritual, in Vrindavan also it is like that. So Mother Yashoda, she would serve Krishna. And then she has a lot of love for Krishna. And any stimulant, more love increases. And in Vrindavan, what actually happens is, even anxiety acts as a stimulant. So all the Brijavasis have intense love for Krishna. So now when they see Krishna is in danger, the feelings of protection, wanting to protect Krishna comes. And that feeling becomes so intense that those feelings lead to more love. Like that. So then there is more. So in the spiritual world, love is constantly growing, expanding, increasing. And that's why Mother Yashoda, even when we hear about, Mother Yashoda would always be in anxiety about Krishna, but that anxiety was because of more and more love. Like when Krishna would be going to the forest of Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda would call out, she would follow Krishna till the edge of the Vrindavan. And Krishna would look back and he would tell Mother Yashoda, Mother, please go back. We will go herd the cows and come back in the evening. Mother Yashoda could not bear separation from Krishna and she would say, no, Krishna, wait. And then they would be gone. And then again Mother Yashoda would shout, Krishna, wait. And then all of them would turn back. And Krishna would say, what? You know, why have you stopped me? Mother Yashoda would say, come, come back. And Krishna would come. And Mother Yashoda would go near him. And she would adjust his clothes properly. She would say, you should dress properly. So then after dressing Krishna properly, then Krishna would go. Then again, unable to bear the separation, after a few steps that Krishna would walk, Mother Yashoda would again call out, Krishna, wait. And then again, all of them would stop. Now what? Mother Yashoda would say, no, you should take some fruits. So she would give fruits, some sweets. So Krishna would take that. And then again he would go. And then again Mother Yashoda would say, Krishna, wait. And again third time Krishna would stop. Like that, she would keep stopping Krishna. Now Krishna would say, now what? Mother Yashoda would say, now take some paan. She would give him some paan. And again Krishna would say, now mother, enough. You know, we'll go to the forest, we'll come back. Don't have so much of fear and worry. Go back home. She would say, okay, I'm going. But she would stand there looking at Krishna and Balram and all the boyfriends of Krishna going to the Vrindavan forest. And as they would be walking, again Mother Yashoda would call out, Krishna! And again Krishna, now what? Mother Yashoda would say, be careful. There are thorns. You're always getting hurt by the thorns in Vrindavan forest. Be careful. You would say, okay mother, I'll be careful. And then they would go. And again Mother Yashoda would call out, Krishna! And then Krishna would turn back, now what? And Mother Yashoda would say, no, 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 I'm calling out to Balram. She would say, Balram, take care of Krishna. Protect Krishna. You are his elder brother. You stand in front of him. See that he doesn't enter into any dangerous area. And you, Sridharma, you should be behind Krishna to protect him from all danger. And Subal, Amshu, you stand on the side. See that no danger comes. So they all say, okay, mother, please go back. And then she says, okay. And then they go. And again, Mother Yashoda calls out, Krishna. Then this time Krishna comes running, embraces Mother Yashoda tightly and assures her that he will be back in the evening. She should go back home and do all her household duties. Then Mother Yashoda finally she says okay. And as they leave, she just stands there like a painted picture. And she is stunned. And she stands there till the last particle of dust, which is raised by the wolves of the calves and the cows and the boys who are going to the forest, until that last particle of dust settles down, she is standing there. So like this, we see Mother Yashoda, she is always in anxiety. But this is spiritual, this increases ecstasy. Sasurup Maharaj, while writing a purport to Lilamrit, he was saying that how we should see that Srila Prabhupada also, when he was taking so much anxiety for spreading Krishna consciousness, that was not material anxiety. Because he was always remembering Krishna, all these activities were stimulating more remembrance of Krishna, and that more remembrance of Krishna was making him more ecstatic. So when Mr. Nair was troubling Srila Prabhupada in the Juhu land issue, Sasurup Maharaj says that Prabhupada was very protective about Radha Ras Bihari, just like Nanda and Yashoda were protective about Krishna when Krishna was caught by Kaliya. He gives this comparison. So Prabhupada was fighting, but that was not fighting for fighting's sake. That was because he was filled with this desire to serve Krishna, to protect Krishna. And so when a pure devotee, because he is seeing Krishna everywhere, is always absorbed in remembering Krishna, that is his consciousness. That's why all emotions he is going through are spiritual. They are increasing his attachment for Krishna more. Srila Prabhupada could see Krishna everywhere and in everything. Once one philosopher challenged Srila Prabhupada. Swamiji, in Bhagavad Gita you are saying Krishna even in those places where Krishna is not obvious. You know, sometimes we also feel like that, some devotees. Hare, Krishna is not mentioned here. Why Prabhupada is translating as Krishna? So Srila Prabhupada said, you scholars have hidden Krishna even where Krishna is obvious. So I will show Krishna even where he is not obvious. And then Krishna, and actually if you see like this, if you see properly, then you will realize that this is a pure devotee. He is seeing Krishna everywhere, in every purport, every verse of Gita. That's why he is able to present like that. And that is the success of Krishna consciousness, that you are able to see Krishna in every purport. Like in music, you know, if somebody is an expert musician, he can catch ragas, he can catch tunes, you know. Like our uncle Shibad was there. He used to teach music to Maharaj. And when sometimes some raga, somebody would sing, he would say, can you hear that dha? Can you hear that pa? And we would not hear. But because he was an expert in classical music, he could catch the dha, sa, pa, all those technical things. So that is called a success of his music, because he can see and hear what is not obvious to others. Similarly, pure devotee of Krishna means somebody who can see Krishna, catch Krishna, hear Krishna everywhere in everything. And Srila Prabhupada was saying that, therefore when we hear about Prabhupada's anxiety, we should know that yes, Prabhupada was anxious. At the same time, that was increasing his attachment for Krishna. Of course, we should clarify. Now, that doesn't mean we are also anxious sometimes. That doesn't mean our anxiety is also spiritual. There is a lot of difference between anxiety we feel while practicing devotional service and what Prabhupada feels or Vrajavasis feel. And the difference is like diamond and plastic. You can't compare. So the difference is, how can we know, you know, whether our anxiety is spiritual? Simple formula, test. The anxiety of Brijavasis, see, when you have problems, we all feel anxiety. So during problems, Brijavasis think of Krishna and we think of ourselves. So if you think of Krishna always, then even those problems are actually sources of ecstasy. But if you are thinking only of self, then what to speak of problems? Even when there are no problems, we are miserable. We sometimes see some people have no problems in life, but they're always lamenting because they're so much full of themselves. So therefore, this is the basic, you know, this is a mistake in the first step. If this basic funda, there is a mistake, if you're only focusing on self, then we can never be happy. But Brijavasis are always thinking of Krishna, Krishna's welfare. That's why that misery, anxiety is also ecstasy. You know, like in maths, we begin with an equation. You make a mistake in the first step, and then after you may take many supplements and you may write, but that final answer is completely wrong. It's way off track. It's a miserable failure. Similarly, if our basic first step is wrong, serving myself or serving Krishna? If the first step is serving myself, oh, I can be happy. if that is the only focus, then that first step is wrong. Then you may take as many supplements as you want. You may take many projects, many jobs. We may do many things which is all like taking supplements. Still will be a miserable failure. Because the basic axiom is wrong. So when what we learn from pure devotees is we have to serve Krishna, not ourselves. And Brijavasis, therefore, should not consider this anxiety to be mundane. But now Krishna, feeling compassion, he tightened himself and Kaliya had to slacken his coils. And when Krishna came out, Kaliya became furious because Krishna is a small child. And how could a small child release himself from the coils of a huge black serpent with 1,000 hoods? So Kaliya's nostrils, you know, Sukadeva Goswami says they were like huge vessels meant for boiling, cooking poison. That's how big they were. And with those nostrils he was emanating poison, and with his eyes he was staring at Krishna. Because he was shocked that a small child could tighten so much that he had to release him. And then Krishna looked at Kaliya and smiled. And said, listen Kaliya, you have shown me enough of your strength. Now, although I am very small, I am little Krishna, but I will show you my strength. Saying like this, Krishna very smilingly, very peacefully, he began to confront Kaliya. This is a very important pastime. You know, we can also see the greatness of Krishna here, because serpent is a very fear-evoking species. You know, even a small snake, if it comes, you know, we become very fearful. One Hampi Yatra, Shabari's cave, people are sleeping in class. It was getting little dark. So Maharaj said, I heard there are some snakes here. And immediately everybody became alert. And then Maharaj kept referring to the snake in the class. So people, and you know, some insects were biting because it was dark and it was like a village. So people were so conscious and awake. Nobody slept in that class. Snake means that very word when we hear, you know, it evokes so much of... And I remember once, Janmashtami lecture at Mahaprabhu's house at Khar. Maharaj was giving class and one rat came from somewhere. And everybody panicked, you know. Maharaj said, rat is causing so much anxiety, you know. Then Maharaj said, if you remember Krishna seeing rat, you will get ratty, you will get rati, you will get love for Krishna. And then everybody laughed. So Maharaj was saying, we are afraid of a small rat, a small snake. But Krishna is now going to play with Kaliya. We cannot imitate this. That's how we can realize how Krishna is great. One brahmachari tried to play with one snake. It happened a few years back in Nigidi. They caught the snake and they put the snake in the mosquito net. And the brahmachari was surrounding and one brahmachari was playing because he was an expert in catching snakes. But somehow the snake bit him and he almost died. Achyutanand Prabhu took him to hospital and just 3-4 days in ICU and he actually almost had died, you know. Somehow he was revived. So we can't play around with snakes. That's how we can see how Krishna is supremely great and supremely sweet also. He is performing such an amazing pastime in such a sweet way. So when Krishna teased Kaliya, made fun of him saying that I will show you my strength, Kaliya tried to bite Krishna and Krishna ran behind Kaliya. So Kaliya turned and Krishna turned. So like this in circles they were going. And so much they were going in circles that Kaliya got tired of going in circles. And when Kaliya got tired, Krishna put his hand on the head of Kaliya, forced it to come down and then jumped on Kaliya's head and stood. So the acharyas give purport that conditioned souls are very proud of their insignificant position and they refuse to bow their heads to Krishna. So Krishna, through the power of irresistible time, takes our head and forces us to bend down. So Krishna made Kaliya, he stood on, jumped on Kaliya's head. Now Krishna has so many skills he knows, 64 skills. You know, he actually knows unlimited skills. But Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Devotion, says how Krishna has many skills. One of the skills he says is expert. He says expert means doing the most difficult task very easily. And Rupa Goswami gives different examples. That, you know, holding a mountain is very difficult, but Krishna effortlessly did it. And defeating Kaliya is impossible, but Krishna did that. And Ras Leela, expanding into 16,000 forms, is most impossible. But Krishna did that. This is Krishna's expertise. And Krishna, Rupa Goswami says, Krishna is not only expert, Krishna is also clever. Generally, you will think expert and clever mean same, right? if you have to call someone, you are expert, you are clever, you are intelligent, you are genius, you are learned. That means basically same thing, you are using these words as synonyms. But Rupa Goswami says, no, Krishna is learned, so he gives a different definition of learned, and the examples which prove Krishna is learned. Then he says Krishna is intelligent, then he gives different definition of intelligent, then examples to prove Krishna is intelligent. Krishna is genius, you know, like that, amazing. So if you read Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada has translated, you will find all these qualities, some of them look similar, but such nice differences, and glorification of Krishna is given. Yeah, there is an important announcement. All devotees are requested to sign the Save Yamuna campaign as you go down in the courtyard. Okay. And there's one more announcement, that is for me. So we are getting late now. So like this, Krishna, all these qualities are there. You can read Nectar of Devotion part 2, Krishna 64 qualities are mentioned. So now Krishna expertly starts dancing on Kaliya's head, the hoods of Kaliya. Now, Kaliya is taking out one hood. Now it's not that Krishna is afraid that he may bite him, so he jumps on his hood. Not like that, you know. Krishna artistically and expertly dances. And now actually if you see, it's very difficult to dance, especially on an unsteady surface. What to speak of a snake's hood. It is so slippery. So slippery. And unsteady, and Krishna is dancing. So that's why he's called Vrindavana Natvara, the most expert dancer. We can't dance even on a steady surface. Why we can't dance? Because our legs are heavy with offenses, our hands are heavy because of sins. So we just can't dance. But Krishna is happily dancing. And when Krishna was dancing, Krishna was actually looking at the young gopis of Vrindavan. He was indicating to them that very soon I am going to dance with you like this in the Ras Lila. So be ready. So he was giving a trailer. So like this. So Krishna, who is the Kala Adi Guru, the Adi Guru of all the fine arts, he started performing such an ecstatic dance. Now this is Vrindavan, this is Krishna, that he can perform the most Herculean task and simultaneously display unparalleled sweetness. Krishna could be punishing Kaliya and dancing and giving joy to the devotees. Krishna would dance to Mother Yashoda's tunes. He would dance with the gopis in Ras Lila. Now here, Krishna started dancing, but and the Gandharvas, Apsaras, they all saw, but they could not, they were so happy because they love music and dance. So they went to get their instruments, musical instruments, and to accompany Krishna in dancing. But as they went, it took some time for them to come. But Krishna had already started dancing. So Krishna himself created sound. Ta, ta, dikta, like that. And then he started dancing and singing. Meanwhile, Indra came running with Mridanga. Lord Shiva came with Damru. All the Apsaras came. They started singing and they started trying to match with Krishna's dance. And they realized, we cannot match this. Let us just watch. You know. And they tried to analyze what step it is. When Krishna would play flute also, the Gandharvas are expert in music. That's why expert musicians have name, Kumar Gandharva, Bal Gandharva. Gandharvas are expert, but when Krishna would play flute, the Gandharvas would be bewildered, you know, what raga is this? Which combination of two ragas? You know? And they would analyze, and then they would say, forget it, let's just enjoy this music. Let's just listen. Let us just relish this. So like this, they started, all the demigods joined, and Krishna stepped on Kaliya's hoods and smashed all his hoods. All the poison came out. And then the blood started coming out. And Acharyas explained that just like Krishna danced on the hoods of Kaliya, Krishna, who comes mercifully in the form of his holy name, dances on our tongues, which is also like a serpent, slippery. And when the holy name dances on our tongue, all the poison comes out. Lust, greed, anger, envy. That's why some devotees say, after I started chanting Hare Krishna, I become more angry, more lusty, more frustrated. So we keep chanting. The poison is coming out. One devotee was telling me once that, Prabhuji, my parents are not very favorable in Krishna consciousness, my brothers and all that, but they are also not, they don't oppose me also. But, and I have a good relation with them, but when I'm chanting, suddenly sometimes I get so angry, I feel like beating them. You know? Why I'm feeling so angry? So I had to tell him, this is, medicine is working, you know? The poison is coming out. Of course, you have to clarify, just because the poison is coming out and it is bona fide, that doesn't mean you keep the bead back and actually beat up someone. That's not the point. The point is, tolerate, allow the poison to come out. This is called a healing crisis, you know. In medicine, sometimes when medicine is working, the proof is, you actually first get worse before you actually start improving. So like that, all the poison came out, then the blood came out, and the wives of Kaliya, they could, because they were the wives, they could see Kaliya in the mind. Yes, now surrendered to Krishna. He realized, Garuda is my only person who can defeat me, and this person is million times stronger than Garuda. I have to take shelter, I have to surrender. And when he decided like that, but now he had no strength to surrender also, in the sense, physically he was gone, all his hoods, he had 101 prominent hoods, all of them were smashed. But when he became humble, Kaliya's wife, actually Kaliya's wives were thinking, let him die. We will become widows and we will chant and we will be devotees. But now when they saw that he's changing, his heart is changing and he's becoming humble, they decided to save him. They decided to try to save him. This is what humility attracts the mercy of devotees actually. I remember once, you know, in one brahmachari used to go, one brahmachari apologized because he had done some mistake. And so the authorities told him that you should apologize. So he publicly apologized. And after that, all devotees loved him more. Because it requires humility to come and say you have done a mistake. So when a person becomes humble, he attracts mercy. So like this, what they do? They come in front of Krishna. But they don't come alone, they come with all their little baby children snakes. You know, because, and they put the children in front of them. And then they offer prayers to Krishna. For that Krishna sees the children and he feels, are, you know, they are trying to say that if you kill him, we will become widows, but these children will also become anath, you know. They didn't say that, but ishara kafi hai, you know, they wanted to show Krishna that, see, you know, if we kill him, we will become widows, our children. So, I don't know how snake children can be beautiful or what, but they were showing like that. Actually, what a combination, crying woman and crying children in front of her. Anyone's compassion will be attracted, you know. Anyone would feel compassionate. So like this, they presented this, and then they offered this prayer, which we chanted in the beginning of the class, and we were supposed to chant many other prayers. So now we have come to this first prayer. Like this, then after this, they chant beautiful prayers, and this goes on. They explain how, they start analyzing, Krishna, how come our husband got so much mercy? Serpent body means most sinful. And your lotus feet on the head means somebody who is more than pious will get your lotus feet on the head. So we can't understand this contradiction. Most sinful, that's why he's got serpent body. And your lotus feet on his head. So they start analyzing, did he do some pious activity? Did he do this? Did he do that? Finally they say it is causeless mercy. That's all. So this is our hope in Krishna consciousness. Only by causeless mercy we can progress. Then so like this, they offer prayers, and finally the last prayer they offer, just once, please once forgive our husband. We promise, now we will do devotional service together. So Krishna says, no, I have actually treated him completely. I have diagnosed Kaliya's, your husband's disease. I have cured him, but I need to stamp him 7-8 times more. And you know, take out all his poison. So immediately the wife says, no, if you do that, even one step, if you jump on him now, he will die. Krishna said, okay, you will get a spiritual body. No, you will get a spiritual body, but you know, we will become widows, our children will become orphans, and all the other envious snakes will enjoy us. So please don't do that. So then Krishna then jumps from Kaliya's hoods, and then all the serpents, Kaliya also starts offering prayers now, because he's so sinful, and he's also in a wretched condition, he's unable to compose his original prayers. He just repeats as it is what his wife spoke. But his consciousness is there. No, that's why many times devotees wonder, how I can pray, I don't know any prayers. That's why Prabhupada said, learn Gajendra's prayers, learn Kunti's prayers. So that we can at least, even if you're not feeling prayerful when we come in front of Krishna, we can simply chant those prayers and invest our consciousness in those prayers. So after Kaliya offered prayers, finally, Kaliya also says, the wives also say that, Krishna, whatever you say, we will do. We agree with you. So then Krishna comes out and from the hoods of Kaliya, and then he orders Kaliya to go to Fiji Islands. Prabhupada said Kaliya was driven out of Yamuna because he should not harass the Brijbasis. Prabhupada said Kaliya went to Fiji, And then devotees told Prabhupada later that in the history of Fiji, in the folklore and the culture, there is a saying that thousands of years ago one huge serpent came from the Indian Ocean there to Fiji Islands. And Prabhupada was just poor, but Prabhupada knew where actually Kaliya went. And then when Krishna came out of Kaliya's hoods, all the wives of Kaliya offered cool sandalwood pulp to cool Krishna's lotus feet, because Kaliya's heads had a lot of jewels and Krishna was dancing on them and Krishna's feet had become red. And then, but Krishna returned back now to the shore, but he was not wet because he didn't swim and come. But when he came out, all Kaliya's serpents, they put their head. So one serpent put their head, Krishna stepped on him. Then the next leg, there is another serpent. Like that, Krishna walked out of Kaliya lake. So all of them also got mercy. And then when Krishna came out, Mother Yashoda told Krishna, "Krishna, I told you not to go to this lake. In the morning I told you, why did you go?" And what did Krishna say? "Mother, you know, we were going and suddenly some ghost came. And ghost dragged us. And I don't know how I landed up. But Mother, because you are sincerely chanting Lord Vishnu's mantras, I got protected and saved. So next time, I will never come this direction." Then Mother Yashoda became very happy. And Balaram embraced Krishna, because Balaram is Anantashesh. So he wanted to see if there is some snake bite on Krishna's body so that he can remove it through his antidote. And then, so like this. So now all the Brajavasis said, "Now we will not go home. Because Krishna was about to die, now we will keep Krishna here only. We are so overjoyed that Krishna is back. We want to stay with Krishna now. We don't want to miss him." So then they decided not to go home that night. They all decided to sleep on the bank of Yamuna that night, there only. And all the men, the Brijvasis, they said, "This Kaliya, he has left. Very good. If he comes back now, we will fight him with our clubs. We are ready." So they again forgot, you know, that Krishna has danced on this Kaliya with 1,000 hoods. This is the sweetness of Vrindavan. Actually, many scientists may prove logically that God does not exist. But how can anyone ever prove the sweetness to be wrong? You know, how many of us actually prayed or desired to be devotees when we were young? We got so much mercy, we got association. So devotees experience Krishna's sweetness. They feel gratitude. They feel grateful to Krishna. This is sweet. So how can you disprove this? How can you say, "Krishna, this is wrong"? No. This is an experience. And therefore, Krishna consciousness offers this experience, which nobody can disprove. Srila Prabhupada once asked, I'm concluding very soon, in 2 minutes. Srila Prabhupada once asked his devotees, "How can you say Krishna is God?" One devotee said, "Prabhupada, because Bhagavad Gita says." Prabhupada said, "Bhagavad Gita is a book. Not valid answer." One devotee said, "Prabhupada, because you are saying." Prabhupada said, "I'm an old man, I'll say anything." "How can you say Krishna is God?" Then one devotee said, many gave different answers. One devotee said, "Prabhupada, because when I chant Hare Krishna, I feel it." Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes." And then basically Srila Prabhupada is saying, ultimately the proof of how Krishna consciousness works comes from feelings, experience. And that will happen when we invest our prayers, our consciousness into our prayers. And that's when we realize, see, when we are studying all these pastimes, intellectually we understand Krishna is great. And when we offer prayers, we realize Krishna is sweet, because Krishna reciprocates and our heart gets filled with. And then what happened, they were all staying there in the night, a big forest fire attack. Was a friend of Kamsa. Sanatana Goswami says he was a friend of Kamsa, some other demon. He came in the form of a forest fire to kill Krishna and all the coward friends. And then Krishna swallowed that forest fire. Swallowing forest fire is a great act, but this is the speciality of Krishna's pastimes, that there is greatness and there is sweetness. That's why Prabhupada did not name ISKCON as International. Prabhupada was told to name as International Society for God Consciousness. Why he named Krishna? Because Krishna, there is unparalleled sweetness. He can perform a spellbinding dance on the hoods of Kaliya and also give him punishment. That's why one atheistic philosopher, Nietzsche, who said God does not exist many centuries ago, he said, "I will believe in God only if there is a dancing God." And he did not know about Krishna. But basically, ultimately, God has to be someone who is sweet. You know, every religion talks about God's laws, how God has so many laws, he will burn you in hell. And we also have law of karma, which is perfect. But laws is nothing compared to love. And that it's love which brings out the sweetness of Krishna. So for non-devotees, the sweetness is eclipsed by the laws, the greatness of Krishna. And for pure devotees, the greatness is eclipsed by sweetness. But for sadhakas, we have to remember the greatness also, and the offering prayers experience sweetness also. And this sweetness of Krishna, to conclude, we can experience through the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because the holy names of Krishna is the sweetest. Holy name is great. Holy name can remove all our sins. Nuclear bomb can destroy everything, but nuclear bomb cannot destroy our sins, our sinful desires. But holy name, you can imagine, it is so great that all our sins can be destroyed. But Rupa Goswami is not attracted by this greatness of the holy name. He is attracted by the sweetness of the holy name, and that's why he is saying, when will I get millions of tongues and millions of ears? And therefore we all chant Hare Krishna. If we chant sincerely, we can experience Krishna's presence in our lives. Because therefore Janmashtami, Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying in one class, that Janmashtami is not simply that we remember Krishna's pastime which he did 5000 years ago, but Janmashtami is an opportunity for us to think how I should act now, how I should take shelter of Krishna's holy name now. So we are now taking shelter of Krishna's holy name and chanting. One devotee once asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was asked that, Prabhupada, can I enter Raslila? Srila Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. When you are chanting Hare Krishna, Radharani is there on your tongue and Krishna is also there on your tongue. And that is Raslila. And if you continue chanting, then your tongue becomes the place where Radha and Krishna are performing Raslila. That means your tongue becomes Rasasthali. So this is the most sublime, sweet pastimes of Krishna appearing in Kali Yuga to us in the form of the holy name. So let us very enthusiastically and gratefully on Janmashtami day aspire to take shelter of Krishna's holy names. That way we will be able to actually attract the mercy of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Janmashtami Mahamohotsav Ki Jai. Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.
Hare Krishna. One announcement is there from Shiv Stall. All devotees, including volunteers, are requested to kindly take their shoes, chappals from shoe stand